Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
Well, good morning, Joel. How are you today on this weekend after Christmas?
Pretty good. A little tired from all the, Christmas craziness.
The festivities.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good. I'm exactly the same, in the same boat you are, tired beyond tired. As a matter of fact, yesterday, now, again, we tape, as you know, we tape a day or two ahead. But yesterday, which was the, because we're taping on Friday. Well, actually, it's funny, Jill. We did two tapings. We did a taping Thursday, our usual day, and now we're taping the first two segments on Friday morning. So Thursday morning, which was the day after Christmas, my son Tommy is upstairs. Their room is in the attic because we had remodeled the attic 100 years ago for their room, and Tommy is up there. So the steps that come down from the attic are the stairwell behind walls are in, like, actually in my bedroom. So even though it comes down into the hallway, that whole section, because then under the steps I have, like, these really cool built-in shelves with the door, like, for extra storage. It's really cool. And so the steps are there. So I can hear, and this house is 100 and some years old, so of course I can hear him coming down the steps. Do you know that it was about, I think I got up a little before 7, and I thought, I'm just going to get up. I thought, nope, I'm going to lay down because I'm tired. So I went back into bed, went to the little girl's room, went to bed. I thought, I'm just going back in. It was 6:45 or something. I thought, it's still a little dark. I'm going. Well, I thought, if I'm not going to fall asleep, I'm just going to get up. So I get up, and I go back to bed, and I'm saying my prayers. And I must have fallen asleep in the middle of my prayers.
Oh, dear.
And to the point where, now wait to hear this, I heard the dogs barking, and I looked at I thought, oh, my God. So I looked at my clock, my phone, and it was 9:20. And I'm like, oh, my God, they slept this late? Dear God, like, no. So I got up, and I went downstairs, and I got them, let them out. And when I went to my kitchen door, the door was open. Like, unlocked. Oh. And I'm like, oh, my God, did I not lock the door last night? And I knew that I did because I was up very late the night before. And I thought, did I know? What the hell? So I open up the door. I let the dogs out, and then they came back in. Or no, they wouldn't go down to where they go to do their business. And I'm thinking, why aren't they? And they're standing there. So I open the door up, and I let them back, and they came back in. And I'm thinking, that's really weird. And I thought, wait a minute. And I opened the door, and I looked off to the right, to the left, and Tommy's car wasn't there. I said, oh, dear God. He got up, left, walked, and got himself out of here. And I never heard one single thing, which is scary, because to not hear him coming down the steps, A, B, you know, whatever he was doing downstairs, getting himself ready to go to work. And I'm thinking, I never heard it, never heard his car leave, nothing.
Yeah, you were really
so tired, Julie. And I thought, oh, my God. So when he came home last night, I said, Tommy, I said, I didn't even know you left. He said, what do you mean? And I said, and I had told him the night before, I said, Tommy, don't worry about it. I'm in the morning if I'm not up. Like, don't, he always, God love him, if I'm up and in my office or in my family room, he'll come in, he'll get me a cup of coffee and bring it upstairs for me, which is adorable. And I said, don't worry about it. I'm thinking I'm going to try to sleep in a little bit. And I also don't like them. I've always been someone, my parents have never been not up when we were up as kids. And I used
right.
to, whenever a parent or my nana was not up, I knew that meant they weren't feeling well, and it used to get me so scared. So I
yeah.
never would let my kids see me not up and moving in the morning because I wouldn't. It just it made me think I don't want them to have that fear that I would have if that happened, because my parents were always up.
Yep.
And so I don't like that, but I said to him, and I'm always up when he gets up in the morning, and I said to him, Tommy, don't, if I'm not, you know, I'm going to try to sleep in so he wouldn't get nervous and wonder why I'm not. And so clearly he said, he goes, well, Mom, you told me you were going to try to sleep in. I said, well, I didn't even hear you. So long, long, long story, even longer. I was so zonked. I didn't even hear all the movement and all the his stuff in the morning. It's just, was
yeah.
that kind of a,
I
mean, you know, I'm still I'm still tired, but whatever. I guess I need it. I always say that. I guess I needed it.
I think so.
But,
and it's been really cold, and it's been
cold,
you know, busy.
And, you know, I told
so,
you.
My
yeah, heater, I had to have a new furnace put in, and the three coldest days of the last, over that last weekend, we had no heat. And I had, you know, both my Sean was home, Tommy, the Katie, my daughter-in-law to be, the dogs. It was crazy with no heat. We had heaters go. It was just crazy. And then my gas, right? But then my gas fireplace, which I hadn't returned on, the blower wasn't working on it. It was just like, you know what? Okay, let's just, you know. Let's just make the best of it. So we did.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah. But it was a wonderful holiday. Thanks to Scranton Electric and Harold Newell and the guys who were here. Thank you. Thank you. They did a great job. And everything was done by Christmas Eve at 11 in the morning. And thank you. Thank you.
Right.
So we were able to have our Christmas Eve dinner and Christmas morning, we were good before the kids left to go back to Katie's parents for, you know, Christmas night. So it was a wonderful holiday, Christmas, and busy, but wonderful, and a little hectic because of the freezing cold and the no heat. But you know what? We did it. We did it.
You
we
did it.
It. And here we are on the other side. So it was a great night. And then I had a few friends over on Christmas night for dessert, and it was a very wonderful holiday. I got great stuff and a new computer and a new gorgeous jacket from Tommy. I love it. Matter of fact, I had it on last night, a wool, like, car coat, a little bit, like, three-quarter length jacket. It's stunning, great lines, and Tommy has great taste, and Sean and Katie got me beautiful things, including a new glass, beautiful, because I collect hearts, and so they know I'm a heart lover, and a beautiful Simon Pierce glass heart, and some lovely things from Knott and Company, and that came from over the moon. And I love that Sean will wait, you know, they were in at Thanksgiving, and they always go to shop at the local stores and get things here for me instead of, you know, they always get me something from New York or wherever they are, but they always shop local when they come in and get things for me, which I love. So it was a beautiful, you know, just a perfect, it was perfect. It was crazy, but perfect. How about yours?
Yeah, similar. I mean, we didn't, I don't know how you stood it without heat for 3 days. That's really rough. Yeah. Ours has been struggling to pump enough heat. It's been cool. So I can only imagine what that was like. But in spite of that, we hung in there with that, and we had a really busy, it was very busy, and I but it was a good busy. And when there's kids around, that just makes it fun. So they had a good time, and because they are really, really into holidays. They love all holidays, and they love to dine in style, and they love to make things, and they made some beautiful decorations for gifts. They do a wonderful job wrapping. We had a little wrapping party. We did scavenger hunts for the first time at Christmas this year. I'm not sure that was my best idea ever because it was so unbelievably cold. We kept putting it off thinking it was going to get a little warmer, a little warmer. It kind of did not. And finally, we ended up doing them on Christmas Day because we were out of time. Like, we had to do them. But it's really sweet. The oldest one, he plans these scavenger hunts for his brother as his present. So we started doing them as, you know, pumped up egg hunts a couple years ago, and we adapted them. Then we started doing scavenger hunts at Halloween, and now we did one that was Christmas themed. And so he put together such a great hunt, and it was brilliant because we got him a little Lego kit was the prize at the end. But the twist was in each little clue bag, we had little burlap bags that were had Santas and elves and stuff on them, and that's what he had to find. And in each inside each little bag, there was a clue and a Lego piece. And so part of the fun was as he collected pieces along the way, he was guessing what
put
he
it
was
together.
Going to make at the end.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's
and
cool.
It was really funny. But we were burying clues in the snow. It was bitter cold, and it was just pure madness. But they had a blast. And then so we did too, because the oldest nephew did one for his brother, and of course it's a surprise. We never say ahead of time that this is going to happen, so that kind of adds to the fun. And then I planned one for with his mom, one for the oldest child too, because then, you know, he had one to do too, so he wasn't left out.
Right.
So that's two hunts. That's between, and they're at least 10 locations each. We usually do 10 to 12. So you figure 20 to 24 different hiding spots, writing all those unique clues, which is fun. But that, you know, there are certain requirements that they have. They must rhyme. There must be a theme. You know, it's a whole thing. I love doing it, but I don't know that I would do it in the snow in, like, you know, the teens again. That was kind of brutal. But
yeah, that's hard. Now, if it were like a couple years back, do you remember that? And I was thinking about that this Christmas morning. A couple years ago, it was 55 degrees on Christmas Day. I remember I literally had my door open in my kitchen and the screen door, like, open up so I loved it. And it was, we had lots of people in my kitchen, and my kitchen is little, pretty, but it's little, and everyone was there. And I thought, oh, we could stand outside on the deck, and there was no snow, and it was a sunny, warm, beautiful Christmas morning. And I love that. I don't care if it's a little cool, but I don't like the snow around. I know, you know, we talk about this all the time, but that was one thing. One morning I really clearly remember, I'm thinking, oh, it's so beautiful. was just a sunny, crisp, but 55 degrees it was up to that day. It was fabulous. So
wow,
this past weekend, no,
yeah.
I loved it. Loved every minute of it. The sun was shining and it was so great. But anyway, so all right. Well, then we're at time, right, Jewel?
Yes, we are. Yes, we
there
are.
We go. So we are going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're listening to The Laurie Cadden Show. I am Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel, who is a producer, Julie, of our wonderful show. And Julie is the owner of Julie D. Immel Communications. Jewel, take it away.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing in northeastern Pennsylvania and beyond. To learn more about how I can help you promote your business or nonprofit, visit juliedimmel.com.
Yay. And Jewel, number one, we want to talk about this. This is now the the last show of our first year of the Laurie Cadden Show and the 15th year of being on air on WILK, 14 prior to with my beloved Miss Lynn Evans for the Laurie and Lynn Show. And so we are going to be staying on next year for the 16th year straight, but the second year of the Laurie Cadden Show with Julie D. Immel producing, and we're staying on air. And thank you for everybody out there who listens and who pays attention and who listens or and does whatever they do with it. I appreciate it. We thank you. It's so nice when I hear people say, listen to your show, blah, 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 blah. It never gets old. I love hearing it, and I love it. So thank you, and we will be staying on for another year. So we thank you, and we thank Johnny Lucas, Jewel, because Johnny Lucas, who does the producing on the WILK side, is just a great guy. Love him to pieces. And Julie sends all of our stuff to him, and Johnny has been with us for long and at WILK for so long, and he's one of the most beloved people there. So thank you. Merry Christmas. Thank you for everything, Johnny, and Happy New Year, my friend. Thank you. And so, Julie, in honor of the new year, we have lots of stuff. We have people who make resolutions. I, for one, do not.
Me neither.
I don't like them. But I do think you can make plans to try to do something different or that you've wanted to do. And every year I think to myself, I'm going to read more and I'm going to get to the movies. Those are always goals that I have going into the new year. But I have not really done that. Reading sometimes a little bit better, but the movie thing I just don't do that often. I end up watching them on TV or Netflix or something, and I just don't go. But I really, really want to say again that those are two things I really want to start to do more of. I want to start getting back to my painting this year, which I have not been doing. And I don't mean in any way stretch of the imagination that I'm a painter, but I used to do a lot of painting in groups, and I did that, and I have not, and I need to start doing stuff like that. So I need to get back and tapping into my creative. My creative this year was my Christmas wrapping, and this was the first year I really wrapped gifts more. I used to always have pretty gift bags and put things in, and I still love them, and I did use them, but I get this beautiful ribbon up at Sam's Club. I buy it all the time, and I have, I don't know, 15 spools of it, and I love it. And then I get this wrapping paper, and I match it, and it's funky, and it's cool, and I love it. And that was my creative, making my bows and tying ribbons and putting this ribbon with that paper and saying that that's kind of cool together. And that made me happy. So I did. So when I'm doing stuff like that, I love it. I love that, or getting ready for Christmas and decorating and doing things a little. I love it. So, you know, and my son Sean, who loves, you know, every year he writes me a pretty note on Christmas card, a Christmas card, and he always says, Mom, I love coming home to your beautifully decorated home. And I, you know, I, it's important because when your kids come home, you want them to have that sense of, oh, I just, and so, yeah, you, so I love to do those kind of things. So that, when I tap into my creative energy like that, I love it. So that's how I know that I need to do more of it, Julie, because it takes me to places that I just focus on what I'm doing and I don't think of the other stuff. And that's why those kind of things are so good for you. Do you have any thoughts on what you're thinking of this year?
Absolutely. And I'm kind of mine are along the same lines as yours. I don't set resolutions. That system doesn't really work for me and never has. But I do like to set goals for myself, and I kind of do that throughout the year. Whether or not I always make them, don't know, but I try. And I'm big on continuously learning and continuously improving. And so this year, on the personal side, I think I probably said this last year when we did our first show of the year, but I'm going to say it again. I still need to learn to bake bread. My mother is a master bread baker, and she did this professionally for many years. I need to spend some time with her on this. She has offered, and we just aren't getting to it, and that's no good. I need to learn how to do this. So that is definitely on the list. And then I've been saying forever, too, I want to make millionaire shortbread. I've never done it. I keep seeing
what is that?
Millionaire shortbread is shortbread on the bottom. Then there's a layer of caramel and then a layer of chocolate on top. It looks amazing. It is amazing.
Oh, my God. I've never heard of that.
I love shortbread. You know me. I love
shortbread. I love anything. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Like, that's my jam. But millionaire shortbread I never made, and it's just on my list. So those are two. And then kind of like you with getting back to reading and movies, I have been kind of have this hankering to start sewing again. I used to do crewel work. So I would do kind of cross stitch and needlepoint and, you know, little projects like that all the time. And as life got busy, I stopped doing it. And I've had these little kits sitting in my sewing bag under my bed for years that are, they're pillowcases with little owls to embroider on the edges. And they're beautiful. And I wanted to do those and then give them maybe as a gift. And they're just sitting there. And it feels relaxing and therapeutic to do it.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And it's a creative outlet, just like the baking. And I want to get back to it. And I also want to reconnect with people that I've kind of lost touch with. And I started doing that this year. And it has been wonderful. And, you know, I am not good at, I don't know why. I'm not good at staying in touch with people. And there will be no reason whatsoever that I lose touch. There's no reason. But, you know, I found that I'm saying that, and I have friends that are saying that too. And, like, we realize we're both apologizing to each other. And it's like, gosh, I'm a bad friend. I haven't been in touch. And then I'm like, no, it's me. I haven't been in touch. And it's so silly. Like, we just have to reach out to each other. We have the tools to do this now. It's easier than ever. You shoot somebody a text and you just check in. And I started doing that with some friends that I had lost touch with this year. It has been a wonderful thing. And there's a couple more people on the list that I want to reconnect with. And so I'm hoping to do that because you really do need that network of support and friendship out there beyond your immediate family. And in my case, I think they can only take so much of me, you know,
well,
I'm going to work on being a better friend.
I want to tell you something too. I have a friend who takes sewing lessons at a place on Biden Street. There, this woman, a lot like they can rent. You, I guess, from what I understand, they
it's Vecina.
She and a friend of hers. Who?
Yeah, it's got to be Vecina, Jamie Durkin's place.
Yes, that's it.
Right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep.
And she's amazing.
Yeah. So just so you know, a friend of mine went. She went with a friend of hers, and they tapped into their, and I used to sew too, believe this or not, years and years ago when I went to 4-H when I was a young kid, we sewed, and Sandy Whiting's grandmother was the woman who, she graduated high school with me, and she taught us how to sew at 4-H. In a place down in, I don't forget the name of it, and I don't know, maybe it was the Bellevue Community Center, might have been that. And that's where we went to 4-H, and we learned how, and I'll never forget, I made a felt stocking when we did that. And I was thrilled with myself. And then when I was in high school, Miss Cantafio taught us sewing and home ec, and we had to learn, we had to sew, we had to do things. And she used to say to us all the time, never, 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 never cut on wrinkled material. Right. I'll never forget her. So that's the one thing I took away from her. And so we did all that. So when my friend told me she was doing that, I said, oh, my God, that's a great idea. So just so you know, that's available there, Jules.
Oh, I know, because I follow Vecina on Facebook and Instagram, and I love Jamie's videos. She makes the most beautiful handbags, and she's an incredibly talented seamstress. So she posts what she's doing all the time, and I'm fascinated by her business, and I love her creativity, and I wanted to sign up for her classes, but it didn't happen this year. Maybe next year, because I know how to do basics. I can hem a pair of pants if I have to. I certainly can sew on a button. I can do basics, but as far as making a garment, I never did that. And I do come from a long line of very, very skilled seamstresses. My grandma and my Aunt Mary were amazing. And they did, that was their profession. That's what they did. And they could even look at you and look at a garment and they'd be like, okay, we're going to take 2 inches off the side. We're going to bring it up an inch and a half. And it'd be done.
No,
and they were very gifted. And so I'm not carrying on the tradition here like I should be. So I definitely want to up my sewing game. But even just the crewel work and the embroidery, I would love to get
that. I have that.
That I could do today.
My grandmother was an embroiderer. I think we talked about that. Mm-hmm. I did buy a kit from Clever Poppy online, and it's just a beginner kit, and it shows you how to do it's just like different flowers, and it shows you the different
It's fun.
What is it called, Julie? Different stitches that you could get. So I am going to use that. I did buy it. I at least purchased it and got it here, and I'm staring at it right now. So I'm hoping to do a little more of that too. Yes. So anyway, So we are going to take, those are our thoughts and ideas of bringing into, and I want to learn how to make sourdough bread too, gluten-free. So I'm going to try that myself. Maybe we'll have to do it, Joel, but here we go. And we did our cookies. You didn't come with us, but Julie and I did our cookies, and we did them here at my house because, again, there was a heating issue with the church that we were going to use. But we did. That was one goal I set, to make my Christmas cookies, and they were delicious. So anyway, here we go. So, all right, everyone, we are going to be right back. We have Sharon Mullaney, who is going to tell us a little bit about merchant services at Fidelity Bank, and she's the senior vice president. And she will be here to talk about that next. And you're listening to the Laurie Cadden Show, and we'll be right back. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a PR special event and fundraising business. And I got that all messed up, Jewel, but it's the day after Christmas. We can do this. And with me is the lovely Julie D. Immel of Julie D. Immel Communications. And Julie, tell everybody what you do there, kiddo.
Thanks, Laurie. I specialize in public relations and marketing. To learn more about my business and how I can help you promote your business, visit juliedimmel.com.
There you go. And with us, we have a lovely woman who's been here before, Miss Sharon Mullaney, Senior Vice President of Business Services Solutions Manager with Fidelity Bank. And we were just blabbing away because I couldn't help myself about all the stuff in my old ways of banking and dealing with merchant services and knowing how important it is to anybody's business and what it is offered and all of the special things that Fidelity can offer you if you're someone who has a merchant services account and who might need one or be in the you might be in the market for a new one. So Sharon, first let's tell everybody, in case they don't know, what exactly is a merchant service or merchant services?
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be with you today. So what merchant services is, it's the ability to accept credit and debit card payments for your services, also to accept gift cards. EBT cards can be processed through merchant services as well, fleet cards at a gas station. So it's basically the process of being able to take a payment electronically at the time of presentment.
Yeah. Sharon, how many people, and this was the question I was going to ask you prior to going on air, how many people, businesses, still do what is your percentage, or maybe you don't know exactly, but how many, let's just say this, how many people don't in a retail or business type restaurant, whatever, how many people don't accept cards? Is that still out there, or does almost everyone across the board now want and have that availability?
It is still out there. There are some businesses that do not accept cards. And as far as a percentage, I'm not sure. I would say it's probably on the lower side, maybe 5% if I were to guess. And
that
those
don't.
That don't will typically have an ATM on site where their customers can go over to an ATM and get cash and then pay with cash that way. And some don't, but they clearly have a sign on their door so that you know when you're walking in that they do not accept credit cards.
Mm-hmm. Sharon, in this world with everything electronic and everyone using their debit and or credit cards, and to me, I don't know how you can not have it. And I was telling you about a business 100 years ago that we used to go to because my father loved the fact that they kept their prices low because of they weren't accepting cards, and that was so long ago. But now it just seems so commonplace with everyone wanting instant gratification, both the person presenting and the merchant or the restaurateur or whomever. I just can't even imagine not having that ability to have that. Again, it is the prerogative of the owner, but I find it's just so convenient. It's got to be hard for people not to want that convenience.
Yes, it's really convenient. And also, I know when I'm out somewhere, if I'm using a credit card or a debit card versus cash, I tend to spend more, right? So from a merchant's perspective, if you do accept credit cards, your tickets will usually be, your average ticket price will usually be higher. You know, somebody might make an impulse purchase because they have their card and they don't have enough cash. So you do see, especially in restaurants, that maybe there's an extra appetizer, a dessert, an extra drink. In a store, maybe you're picking up something that's right there at the cash register on your way out. But if you were only using cash, you're limited to the cash that you have on hand. And most businesses factor their credit card pricing into their overall cost of doing business. So in most cases, credit card is factored into the price that you're going to be paying for something.
Right, right. So, Sharon, if someone is, when you have, so do you in your department work directly then with the lenders who are doing, or with someone who comes in to open new accounts, and maybe it's not on a lending basis right now, but it's the ability to open in a regular account to get themselves established. How do you guys go out to them? Do you meet with them? How what's the best way if someone's listening to this and thinks, hey, I should really talk to Fidelity about looking at their merchant services, what might be different than what I'm getting? What is the way, and how does that happen with someone who may want to switch or decided, hey, I think I'm going to try that now, or I need to do this. Let's get this set up. How long does it take? What does the process look like?
So the process, we have two full-time, dedicated, experienced merchant services bankers. They do prefer to meet with our clients in person. They like to see the business. They like to find out how they're accepting cards so that we can offer and recommend the best solution for them, whether it's mobile, online, cash advance terminal in their location, or point-of-sale solution, because we also offer point-of-sale. So they would want to meet with them in person to determine the best solution for them. And then they would also work with them to complete the application. It's typically turned around if it's just a terminal that's being deployed, that can be there within 2 days. If it's a point of sale system, that might require some additional training, maybe a week to get them up and running. But our bankers actually go out, provide that hands-on installation, and then if there's training needed for an online solution, we coordinate that as well. So it's a very simple process for us. We're competitive with our pricing. Again, the local bankers, you know, you can't beat being able to pick up the phone and reach somebody instead of calling out and being bounced around to somebody who doesn't know your business. You know, our bankers live and work in the areas that they serve, so they're always available to be there if an emergency comes up or if we need to replace a terminal. We have that ability to turn that around very quickly. And they can either come into one of our branch offices, they can contact us through our customer care area, or they can, you know, contact me directly and I can put them in touch with one of our bankers.
Yeah, and then Sharon, also then on the debit and the debit card on that end of things, that is the most, they were the, to me, the best things ever invented was to use those debit cards for purchases. I mean, I remember years ago, this was, I'll tell you the date, it was 1993, and it was right before that big snowstorm in March that we had that closed everything down, and I was visiting a friend in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and I was staying in Philadelphia for a conference, and I went over the night before. It was a beautiful, gorgeous day. I even got my car washed. It was such a beautiful day, and the next day was that those 3 feet of snow. I don't know if you remember, 1993 snowstorm was crazy.
Yes, I remember.
You remember it? And it was the year before my younger guy was born, so I'll never forget that. But and I was kind of trapped in Philadelphia, not a bad place to be trapped in. But anyway, when I went over to visit her the day before, she used her card. And I said, that has a bank name on that I'm familiar with. I said, what is that? She said, it's a debit card. I said, She said, I can use it like a credit card. It comes right out of my, I said, having been an ex-banker, I knew about, you know, MAC cards, or as we call them, an AATM card, but at that, you know, with a debit card, which was the precursor was a MAC card to, at the MAC machine and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, that is the coolest thing. And it wasn't, you know, long after that, then I was able to get one, but those were, like, to me, they're the best inventions. So they run those. Are those fees and how they work, Sharon, are they exactly the same as a credit card because the merchant has to process it that way?
So from the merchant's perspective, accepting a debit card is less expensive to the merchant. It's a lower fee that's assessed through Visa and MasterCard.
Okay.
But it rides the same rails, if you will, through the processing.
Right.
And what I didn't mention before that I wanted to mention is, in addition to how customers typically pay today and how merchants are used to just absorbing the fees for their merchant services, there are new plans that allow merchants to assess a surcharge or a service fee or a convenience fee, as well as what's called cash discounting. So we're seeing a little bit more of that with some merchants who don't want to absorb the entire cost of accepting a credit card. And those are also solutions that we would be able to discuss with them in addition to just standard pricing for credit card transactions.
Yeah, so the point I'm getting at here with all of this with merchant services is that you have a whole department dedicated to making sure that your customers are serviced in a way of which they don't have to go crazy with talking to someone they don't know, like you just mentioned, having local people here. The bank is dealing with it. But it is an entire part of your business unto itself, Sharon. It's to me, and that's why I love that whole department, because there's so much involved with it, so many things, whether it's fraud or some. I mean, I just had an issue with the credit card I used, and of course, my
banking is at Fidelity. And Kelly Laird had to help me get this because this person was charging my account, my fault because I didn't pay attention, but for, I think it was 8 weeks of something I never received that I had ordered. So how does that work too, Sharon, on the protection side? I'm sure that helps merchants knowing that you have that as well.
Yes, absolutely. So from the cardholder's perspective, if they use their credit card for a transaction, they have zero liability if something fraudulent were to occur, mm-hmm. such as, you know, a situation like you had. From the merchant perspective, as long as they're accepting chip cards and they're accepting them in person, then they eliminate the risk of a chargeback on fraudulent item. So again, it's really important that they use the proper technology, that they have the most updated equipment, so that they don't assume a loss for a fraudulent transaction if it could have been avoided by accepting a chip card. If they accept something online over the phone, there's always the risk because you don't have the person in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever it's in person, it's very important they accept a chip card.
Yes, so tell us one more. We have about a minute left, Sharon. Tell me anything else that people should know about using, having merchant services for their business and why they should want to, you know, look into the possibility of having it done. That we didn't cover. Did we miss anything? Is there something else you want to tell everyone?
I think the big thing, as you mentioned, with fraud is, you know, a big piece of it. If you're accepting a credit card, you know, again, less fraud in accepting a credit card when it is a chip card versus taking a check where you might get a bad check presented to you. You're mm-hmm. going to increase the amount of the sales that are going through than you currently receive today if you're not accepting cards. And it's more affordable than many merchants may think. So sitting down, talking with a merchant services provider such as Fidelity or another provider if they bank elsewhere, you know, of course, we'd love to have that opportunity to speak with them, but just understanding what the cost is, it's not that expensive, and there are other options where they can minimize those fees. So I think just really meeting with their banker and having a good cash flow discussion. Our goal is to help our customers make money, or save time, and our bankers will help them do that.
And Sharon, what's the average turnaround when somebody uses, and you mentioned point of sale and with those transactions, what's the average turnaround for when does a merchant usually see that money show up as a credit to them from the use of a credit card or a debit card, or does it vary?
It varies with us and our processor. Our customers see it the next business day, but
okay.
with some other providers, we have seen that it could take 2 days or 3 days.
Okay. Well, either way, it would behoove your business to make sure you're hooked up with a good merchant service provider such as Fidelity. And if you want to do that or talk to Sharon about the possibility of someone coming, even if you're thinking about it and you think, hey, maybe I want to change, maybe I want to do this, who can they talk, how can they get in touch with your department, Sharon, or you or whomever to talk to you about that?
I would recommend calling me directly, and they can reach me at 570-504-8079. And then I would put them in touch directly with one of our bankers that
Great.
Handles merchant services.
There you go. Well, no excuses, everyone listening. Go on the call. Give Sharon a call. She'll get you started. She'll get you right with the right person and get those credit cards and debit cards in action and make a little more money and have that access. Or maybe, who knows, maybe you can get a reduced fee. See what happens. Give them a call. So, Sharon, we thank you so much for coming on with us. It's been a while that you've been on, but I was so happy when I saw Dominique's note that you were coming on. And, again, I have to say it live because, you know, he tells me, Sharon, if you have anytime you have anyone that, you know, works with me, you got to mention my name, Mike Pacina. So I'm saying a big hello to Mike Pacina. Make sure you tell him, Sharon, okay?
I absolutely will. Thank you.
And I tease him, but I love him to pieces. He's a great guy. So anyway, Sharon, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful new year and filled with all kinds of new business. And Today we have been talking to the lovely Sharon Mullaney, who is the Senior Vice President Business Services Solution Manager at Fidelity Bank. Sharon, Happy New Year. Good luck with this coming year. And everybody else out there, we wish you the best new year of 2025, because this will be the week you hear us before we for next year. So Happy New Year, everybody. We will see you real soon. Thanks for listening. Have a great, great holiday, and please make it safe. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye-bye.